please. If the crowd could please quiet down.
I'll rise for the Pledge of Allegiance. I pledge allegiance to the flag of the United States of America and to the republic for which it stands, one nation, under God, indivisible, with liberty and justice for all.
Roll call, please.
Cope.
Here.
Colosimo.
Present.
Fletcher.
Here.
Leschewski.
Here.
Frieders.
Here.
Funkhauser. Tarullis.
Here.
Hernandez.
Here.
Quorum is established.
Any amendments to tonight's agenda? No presentations. One public hearing. We'll go into public hearing for Cedarhurst Living, a proposed special service area 2017-1. We have anyone from the public who would like to make a comment?
Please form a line.
Hearing none, we're closing the public hearing for Cedarhurst Living. And move right on to citizen comments. Going once. Jim? Okay, no consent agenda. We do have a couple of sets of minutes for approval. So I'll entertain a motion to approve the minutes of the regular city council meeting of May 9th, 2017 and May 23rd, 2017 as presented.
So moved.
Second. Comments, questions, or corrections on the minutes? All those in favor of approving the minutes as presented, please state aye.
Aye.
Opposed? Okay, we're on the mayor's report. We have the library annual report, and that looks like that is informational only. Any questions or comments on the library annual report? Okay. Nymark streetlight renewal. I'll entertain a motion to authorize the city administrator and finance director to sign contracts to secure the provision of electricity for the city streetlight accounts from the firm identified as a low-cost provider by NYMEC, effective only for the current NYMEC renewal cycle, which ends on June 30th, 2017.
So moved.
Second.
Comments or questions? All right, hearing none, we will move on to Public Works Committee report. I'll turn that over to...
Can you vote on this? Oh, yeah, I'm
sorry. We
should vote. We
should
vote.
Okay.
I'll vote. This is
going to be unanimous,
right? Colosimo?
Aye.
Leschewski?
Aye.
Hernandez?
Aye.
Cope?
Aye.
Fletcher?
Aye.
Frieders?
Aye.
Tarullis?
Aye.
Motion passes.
See, that's worse for about 3 minutes.
I make a motion to approve a resolution approving Terracon Consultants Incorporated's proposal to provide soil contamination remediation services and to approve an ordinance authorizing the second amendment to the annual budget for the fiscal year commencing on May 1st, 2017 and ending on April 30th, 2018 and to authorize the mayor and city clerk to execute.
Second.
Comments, questions?
I guess the only question I have is when will we have a little more clarity on the possibility of extending this TIF and what the likelihood of that happening is, because obviously we're going into more deficit spending into the TIF, so I would like more time to recoup that money. If we don't recoup it, we obviously are paying for it from the general fund.
Sure.
So when do we have more clarity on that, I guess, is what I want to know.
We've been gathering data and mapping that out for the past few months. At the EDC meeting next week, I would expect to have more of a timeline for both TIF proposals. Right now, it's looking like on our end, the outreach to the actual governmental entities should occur still yet this calendar year, and will probably take 6 months, is my guess, which then puts us in the 2018 legislative session for the state. So hopefully if everything goes well, it'd be April or May of next year that we would actually have the bill that approves the extension of the existing TIF. The creation of the second TIF may move forward sooner on the chance of, you know, just the normal public hearing process associated with the TIF. So that second TIF may or may not include riverfront property. That's something that will be decided as part of the process. So depending on which TIF it ends up in, you know, could be this year, could be middle of next year.
I guess that's all my only reservation. I know there's different options for this. Why is the attorney who's sitting 5 feet away from me and told me he's going to do it right? And I understand this is the right way to do it. But her main rights can be appealed for. So just not concerned what we're going to find when we do that. The number could balloon from 300,000 to who knows where. So as long as the council's aware that, you know, we're lending the money to the TIF, that there's no guarantee we're going to be repaid. But all right, thank you.
Anyone else?
I kind of share some of the same concerns. I think my concerns are more the idea that the TIF is use the dollars to bring up the whole area, right? And so if you're constantly spending, you know, adding to the deficit of that, it limits what you can do to bring in development, too. So I'd like to be careful about how we do this, too.
If I give you the benefit of my experience, which you may or may not agree with, the TIF money, when we induce a project, we expect the project to create its own increment, which we then use to reimburse it. It is the additional increment, because we never pledge 100% of the increment generated by a project to the project. We usually, for example, in Imperial Investments, we've a promise to reimburse them with 85% of the increment generated solely and only by its projects. So the inflationary increase of the surrounding properties adds to the TIF coffers, and the 15% not committed to the project adds to the TIF coffers. And those dollars, in fact, should be used for infrastructure improvements, which are considered, hopefully, prayerfully, to improve the entire project area.
What happens if that doesn't happen? I've always wondered about that.
Well, that was part of my discussion with in this case, this cleanup, if we don't get reimbursed by the TIF, the general fund would have had to have paid for it, period. And so we're loaning it from the general fund to the TIF with the belief that doing it with TIF funds will generate improvements to the general area, bring better and more activity to our riverfront, and consequently improve the values of the other property. I mean, it sounds good, right? I hope it happens.
So it's sort of no problem looking at it as worst case we're using some of the general fund dollars to do this.
Because you're improving the city of York.
Okay.
Joel?
Yeah, I'm kind of encouraged by the fact that the majority of the discussions that I've had with people in this council aren't about why, they're more about how. We know this situation, my own vernacular, sucks. So the fact that there's nothing we can do about it besides move forward and attempt to remedy it at least shows that we're not going to go, well, we can't afford it, so let's just let it sit there. So at least, from my opinion, we're thinking with our ethical shoes on, and I like those shoes.
Anyone else? Roll call, please.
Milchewski?
Aye.
Hernandez?
Aye.
Koch?
Aye.
Plocher?
Aye.
Frieders?
Aye.
Tarulis?
Aye.
Colosimo?
Aye.
Motion passes.
Aye.
Bless.
Thank you.
That was the only one for both of these items? This resolution and the ordinance? Were they both in there?
Yeah.
No.
This is the other one.
It says and to approve.
And. Goodbye.
We voted on joint.
Yeah,
they're both right
now.
I'm always voting on
joints. You're going to approve it, but you're not
going to
approve the budget.
So I did it in one swoop. Okay, no other committee reports? Any community and liaison reports? Any staff reports?
No reports?
Additional business? Anyone?
Nope.
You know that the library board is looking for a new executive director, and there's search going on right now. And in the meantime, we were kind of looking at the library budget, and I don't know if anyone has really looked at the library budget closely, but they're running a structural deficit, pretty good deficit, and hiring a new director is only going to add to that deficit. And so much so that in about 5 years' time, they'll deplete their fund balance. Okay, and what they do after that or what corrective action they're taking, I'm not sure. But in 5 years' time, when they deplete their fund balance, I don't know how open the city would be to giving them more money to, you know, supplement their operating budget if they're not living within their means right now. So with that in mind, Tim actually came up with a good idea to kind of throw them a lifeline and increase hours at the library, increase programming, increase visibility. His idea was kind of a shared services type agreement, the same way that we do with Montgomery and Oswego, you know, kind of the Parks and Rec staff stepping up to help out the library at their front counter, bring programming into the library, and maybe Tim kind of overseeing the director's role on a high level. I mean, everything would still operate under the authority and direction of the library board, but Tim would kind of be able to do their high-level budgeting, managerial decisions, and things like that. So I thought it was a win-win. I thought it was a good idea. We had a meeting with Russ Walter from the library board yesterday. Me, Bart, and Tim, and Russ sat down and talked about it a little bit. And he kind of presented the library board yesterday. To see, you know, just kind of feel it out, and maybe we'll go there in July and give them a full presentation. But I know Bart said you were familiar with this sort of arrangement in other cities. I don't know, maybe you were tempted to speak to that a little bit. But one thing that we wanted to make clear to Russ is that this is in no way the city, I know that maybe some on the library board may look at it as a city trying to do a power grid, you know, which is not what we want. We don't want to make the library a separate department of the city. But all our departments operate on a shoestring budget, you know, and I can't see us ever agreeing to give them more money than what their tax levy provides for, you know. So I really thought this was ingenious by Tim, you know, a good win-win situation. Tom, you want to talk a little more about it, Bart?
Yeah, well, I'm familiar with, the library as a service underneath Parks and Recreation from a town that I visited in Pennsylvania, actually. When I was an assistant as part of an ICMA conference. And so it was a division similar to Parks and Rec. They called it Leisure Services there. But essentially, it was a library. And it was a library community center that they would then run kids' classes and other active and passive recreation classes in the same building. So, you know, if you think about it, a lot of the times libraries are doing story times, so they're doing painting classes, arts and crafts, a lot of things that appeal to kids. So those are recreation type programs where you just go out and hire somebody to do it and charge people to attend, or not, if you choose to run your business that way. So that's where I'm familiar with it. And I know that it is somewhat common in other states that have less units of government, so they have more consolidated county, township, and city entities. So it's not normal in Illinois because of the state statute, but it is common, I think, across the country. So we talked about five bullet points, just throwing them out there, how this could work. So the mayor mentioned you could leave the director position unfilled, or effectively you could appoint somebody from within and then not backfill that position. So the end result would be that you would actually lose an executive level management position, which would save a lot of money. Two, you could actually take the Parks and Recreation front desk staff that are down at the ARC building. You can move them up to the front desk in the library, have them supplement the daily hours. You could then cross-train your library employees with your Parks and Rec front desk staff so that both could either sign up new people for classes or know how to check out books. So if you move somebody up there and they're working 8 to 4:30, you can take the people that are currently there and either bookend them at the end of the night, in the evenings, or even on the weekends. So you can expand your hours, basically, with a direct replacement there. You could have Tim oversee the operation of the library, similar to how he does now for Parks and Rec. He can really get involved in the nitty-gritty. Day-to-day, he's got two superintendents, one for parks, one for rec that handles the day-to-day there. So you could have that same structural relationship where maybe he still goes to the library board meetings, advises them on budgets and policies and all these other things. But that could be done through the intergovernmental agreement and then just using it basically like a consultant. You could utilize the existing rooms in the library. So they have various, there's like a teen room, there's outdoor areas, the old library is booked during the day. But you could just fold that into the inventory of Parks and Rec and actually run classes during there. That would have the benefit of actually bringing a lot more traffic into the library, which could then benefit them by giving them more money just from programming, maybe additional, additional books being taken up. And so you'd be expanding services there. And the last thing is just co-advertising. So if you've got the Parks and Rec catalog, we do advertise the library's services there, but you could really fold it into a larger catalog that encompasses three divisions, three services, give them more of a footprint, and kind of run it all as one entity effectively from a programming method. And you might actually increase your enrollment in all classes there. So that has potential to generate money and not just save it. So you can do any combination of those things, different variations. I mean, there is a state statute structure that, you'd have to amend state statutes if you ever fully consolidate under the city. So they have their own authority and everything. And that's, similar to the relationship that we have with Oswego with the purchasing manager. You could set it up as an intergovernmental agreement where they would participate voluntarily, and really you could give them an out clause that says that any time you didn't think this was working, they could just pull away and do whatever they want. So this is the type of thing that we've been talking about with Oswego and Montgomery for the past 2 years now, 3 years, and it's been fruitful on a couple of different levels. So, kind of that same methodology can apply here if they're willing to take a look at it.
How do we know how the board, were they receptive to the idea when it was brought up the flagpole yesterday, or?
Yeah,
I think I can answer that.
Yeah.
I was at the meeting yesterday, and I think the initial reaction was pretty much negative, but I think after discussion that there was a general consensus to pursue it further, get some more information, talk to Tim, see how this would relate to their job description as it was for a new library director. And so I think that's where they left it, and I think it's an open issue.
Yeah, as long as they keep an open mind. I mean, I understand it's different, it's outside the box a little bit. I can understand them, not being receptive at first, but as long as they're open to discussing it, I mean, we're here to help. I mean, all levels of government are strapped for cash, and shared services, like we're doing with Montgomery and Oswego, the only way all of us are going to survive.
I think there was a recognition to that they do need some help in terms of operations that they may or may not get with them. Having a person
that's
a librarian, so to speak.
I mean, once they meet Tim, I call him our fixer. There's a problem, he fixes it.
Waste management. I think the thing that you said that was the most important was it's not normal in Illinois. I'm good with that.
So I just wanted to update the council, let you know how those discussions are going on. And, we can create a win-win situation. Benefits our residents. I say we explore it. So, Tim, do you have anything to add?
No, I think everything barks out there. So, we'll get more information, especially as we meet at the library board and see what direction everybody wants to go here.
All righty. With no additional business, we will adjourn to executive session for litigation. And no action will be taken after executive session.
Had a motion going.